At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Petrified Podcast. I am your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. We have a good episode for y'all today. Thank y'all so much for listening to last week's episode of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise. And let us know what your favorite one was, because I'm think everybody's going to agree 3D was the worst one. But no, thank y'all so much for listening. Today we are talking about the Toxic Avenger in light of the new one that's coming out, starring Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, it's released today. Kevin Bacon, yep. Elijah today, Wood. So
yeah, it came out today. We'll probably have an episode on it later on, but because it was coming out, we decided to do the whole franchise. Since technically the new one is a reboot, and the older ones kind of all connect.
Loosely
all connect. We decided to talk about each and every movie, and yeah, man, just the wildness of kind of the Troma Team movie. Not all the movies, of course, because there is a buttload of movies. But the Toxic Avenger being probably the cult classic one that kind of blew up the Troma.
Yeah, definitely. Scene. It was their flagship.
You know,
Toxic Avenger definitely, held it down for Troma. Yeah.
The first one came out in 1984, released 1984 is what's posted, but watching some documentaries, it says 1979 when they started,
I'm pretty sure it probably was like a little student film, like a little work in progress.
Yeah, because it was they had... I think two or three other films before this one, but this one would be kind of the one to blow it up, I guess you could say. This one was... You introduced me to Toxic Avenger when we had first met and started talking about different movies that we haven't seen. I had never seen Toxic Avenger. However, I have seen Kabuki Man, Sergeant Kabuki Man, NYPD. Yeah, I have seen that, and I didn't know it was part of the same... thing like the
you didn't
whole,
know it was the Troma timeline,
yeah,
bro.
Man. That and Frankenhooker, too. Frankenhooker, which I love, did not know that was also part of the different, obviously, director. They wanted to have people who wanted to do independent films, and so that's why, like, all these weird movies are kind of part of the same,
like universe,
yeah.
It's like the TCU,
yeah, Troma Cinematic Universe. Yeah, this movie, man, was when I first watched it, it was just, it is so wild. It's so, I was going to say you couldn't make it today, but they are making it. They made it.
They made it, but I don't think it's going to have the same, I think it's going to be, like, from what I've read about it, it's going on the same story, but it definitely, I think, some of that stuff is way too outlandish. I mean, obviously they can do parts and stuff that are going to be, like, similar in nature.
Oh yeah,
but
I mean, yeah. You. I think because his whole thing, Lord Kaufman, who obviously created the Tromaverse, I would say, his whole thing is kind of the shock value that you get out of it. So you take things over the top. It's a satire, stuff like that. But you do it in an offensive way to where it shocks people, and I think that's what you have. You have like. In the first one, you have the blind people or the blind girlfriend with, wearing skimpy outfits because she can't see.
The service dog. The service dog gets blasted.
Yeah.
It's like, the kid. And there were two versions of the original one. There was the one that they originally released. And in the original one, there's a kid who's leaving at dusk and he's going out for a bicycle ride.
Let's talk about this whole weird scene. So it's like, 10 o'clock at night? 9 o'clock at night, probably. and you have this kid going out to bike ride.
Yeah.
Gets his new bike. And he's
hey,
like,
I go riding at 10 o'clock at night. I see no problems with this. But yeah, but he basically, like his sister's walking him out and she's like, okay, Timmy, you have a good ride or something. So he takes off and he's riding down the street and then Bozo and...
Oh, yes.
Bozo and his gang roll up in the car and they're out playing King of the Road, I guess I'd call it. So they're out playing, and they ride up next to the kid. And so the girls in the car are like, oh, look at the kid. And so they make contact, and of course, you know, there's...
Well, they have a point system.
Yeah, they definitely have a point system in their game. And so they're waving at the kid, and the kid is like, you know, dude, these, like, bombshell blonde is waving at me.
Yeah.
I'm stoked. So he waves back, and they're like, you know, let's hit the kid. So...
You have to hit the kid because you'll get extra points.
Yeah, you get extra points because you hit the kid because it's a bicycle and a kid. So it's a twofer, like it's a double letter or triple letter score. So they hit him and, you know, they hit him, but they don't kill him.
Yeah.
So then the backseat passengers realize, hey, he ain't dead. You can't get the points because he ain't dead. So they throw the car in the reverse and they run over his head like a watermelon.
Yeah, which they used.
They totally used it in the original, but then obviously that was so offensive that they omitted that. When I first saw it, this was one of those movies, and this is kind of like, you know, as we talk.
Yeah.
This reminded me of, you know, how you were saying when you were younger, your dad had the VHS of, you know, Halloween.
Yeah.
We had, literally, we didn't own it, but I remember specifically, me, my best friend Chris, my dad took us to Wanso Video in Lomita, California. Wanso Video had it on VHS, and we rented it, and we took it home. Now, note, it wasn't 1984. It was probably 1985 by the time that I caught whiff of this movie.
Yeah.
And it was just so, so zany. I was like, oh, my God. And at the time, you know, it was the 80s. My parents didn't care. They were like, whatever. This is, like, stupid, campy stuff. Go ahead and watch it.
Yeah.
So I remember watching it. And to this day, if you call my mom right now and you talk to my mom, she's like, oh, Eric loves that Toxic Avenger. And it's like, yeah, because this is just great. I mean, it's a great, stupid movie.
Yeah, it's what it is. It's entertaining. Entertaining, and I think that's why it's become a cult classic today and why a lot of those films have become cult classics, because they're just entertaining. There's nothing they're trying to push or anything like that. No, like, deep message. Like, yeah, it did have, like, you know, political stuff in it, and it had, like, you know, some of the social stuff that was going on at the time. But he never used that as, like, a storyline. It was literally, hey, here's this monster that's a hero.
Well, that's the most hilarious part about the movie, is that the movie was written, according to Lloyd Kaufman, the movie was written in basically a protest to climate change and, you know, the hole in the ozone layer and all the greenhouse gases.
Yeah.
So he made the movie to basically boycott toxic waste.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who's done more for the, you know, the enhancement of toxic chemicals than Lloyd Kaufman.
Yeah.
Because literally, like, I mean, shoot, if I can get thrown into a vat of, you know, bubbling goop while two meth heads snort, you know, 80 ounces of, you know, speed in the front.
A comic amount of coke.
Yeah.
The dialogue, everything is just so funny in this movie, man. It's just like...
The dub over...
It's, yeah, the overdub of voices, which I saw a couple of comments with the new one that's coming out. People had a problem with because it does look weird, especially when it's shot in 4K, I guess you could say. I don't know if it's shot in 4K, but it kind of looks like it. With the older movies, you can do that. You know, it looks cheesy, you know, but it wasn't too bad to where you can notice it like, oh, that's not his voice or that's an overdub. Whereas the new one. Seeing some of like the ad stuff like that the Toxic Avenger was in or whatever, you can kind of tell like, oh, that doesn't line up right. But I don't know. I haven't seen the movie yet, so who knows how it looks. But people had a problem with it seeing like some of the fake commercials they came out with on YouTube. They were like, well, is the whole movie like him just being overdubbed by Peter Dinklage? And all of them were. All of the movies were all overdubs. So, yeah, it's like you needed a big, strong man, but you needed the voice for the big, strong man to be kind of this, kind of, he's still Melvin the Mop Boy, so he still has to have kind of this.
Yeah, like Meek Mal's voice. Yeah. It's his nature. He has that like little squeaky, did I do that? You know, kind of Urkel-y kind of thing going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so you, yeah, they're all overdubbed with, you know, different voices or just overdubbed with the same voice, the same actor, you know, just to get, you know, the perfect sound or whatever. Maybe, you know, sounding with, you know, the sound was different. But yeah, I noticed that with the new one too. You can kind of, it's more noticeable, I would say. But then again, still have yet to see the movie. So when we see it,
yeah,
then I'll give a full, you know, full review on it. But yeah, man, the Toxic Avenger was a wild. You introduced me to a wild movie. I say that, but I like Frankenhooker. I like Street Trash, of course. But yeah, this one was. And you know, he's the first superhuman hero from New Jersey. Jersey, man.
Come on,
from
now.
Jersey.
Yeah.
And what was cool too, we met Mark Torgel, who played
Melvin,
the mop boy.
In the first one.
Yeah, in the first one. Yeah. And he's in the fourth one. Yeah. He's evil Melvin in the fourth one.
Yeah, he took off the second and the third, but came back in the fourth, you know, to bless us out because, you know, it was, you know, Citizen Toxie.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really cool to meet, man. He's a real cool, chill guy.
Oh, he's super cool. He personalized. We had some Funko Pops that we had scored, and he signed our Funko Pops. Super cool guy. Awesome. If you ever get a chance to meet him, you know, reach out to him, give him a pound. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He actually still owns the sheep, he was telling us, because in the first one, they kind of trick him before he becomes Toxie. They trick him, and they make him kiss a sheep.
Yeah.
And so he kisses the sheep, and apparently Mark Torgel still owns this fake sheep.
Yeah.
And he was going to bring it when he came out here to our town last year, but apparently the truck broke down and the sheep fell off. But he still
not
has...
Not a real sheep. Not yeah, like...
It's not a real sheep. It was at one time a real sheep, but I'm sure it's taxidermed at this point.
Yeah. Which would be fine. It was a
pet. Sheep, a little hoof. It's good.
Yeah, he was so cool. Yeah, especially... personalizing our little Funko Pops, man. Yeah, he was great. And then, of course, you know, with such success for the first one, you had to have a sequel. And sequel, you know, you don't have the same actors. So he has a different girlfriend. The first one he has Sarah. This one he has Claire. And it's supposed to expand on, you know, the Toxic Avenger, his origin story and stuff. Not origin story, but like kind of.
The funny part is that it actually goes into like the second one does what the first one didn't. The first one was said to be like this, you know, like philanthropic piece that basically went after toxic waste and, you know, evil corporations. The second one introduces you, you know, basically into the world of, you know, Apocalypse Inc.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the evil, you know, multinational corporation
that
basically imports all of its toxic waste and all of its evil nature into Troma.
Yeah.
You know, into Troma, you know.
Tromaville. Yeah, where he lives. Yeah, the evil corporation. And then, you can't have good without evil, man. You need something. Well, because he was, like, I guess kind of bored, you know. He was helping the school for the blind people. Again, because his girlfriend is blind, so they have a school or a housing for blind people. You know, they do activities and stuff like that.
Toxie cleans it up.
I've seen like the school for blind. I've never seen like a home for just like blind like adults.
When's the last time you went to Tromaville?
That's true.
That's my question.
You're right. But all the toxic waste that happened, that would explain why most of the people are blind. You know? So that explains a lot.
I don't know. All that I know is that there's a big man, no matter where you go in Tromaville, a big man with multiple ladies around him.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's blind. He, you know, looking like Barry White out there. Just.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the big guy?
Yeah. The big guy was like just, kid you not. Okay, so through the rest of the film, like through 2 and 3, he's not blind.
Yeah, because 2 and 3 technically bleed together because... He filmed one giant film. It was 4 hours long, and Lloyd Kaufman had to split it, you know, because obviously they had to cut a lot of stuff, you know, you have to show these movies, obviously, to the executive stuff like that, people who are going to kind of release your movie, and they'll tell you, like, what to cut, you know, if you want a certain rating or something like that, And they were like, dude, this is 4 hours long. So he was like, so I think if I remember correctly, reading his wife is what suggested, hey, just cut it in half. Two. Yeah, cut it in half. And you have one and two right there.
That's why they were released in, you know, 89, the same year. Both sides of the coin, two and three.
Yeah. But yeah, that movie was the.
And two was a real, you know, it was a real soul jerker because basically it gets into the fact that Melvin's dad left.
Yeah.
Well, Melvin's dad left the family. And, you know, so Apocalypse Inc., they just can't put a dent in the Toxic Avenger. Like, they go in.
Yeah.
They blow up the home for the blind. They do all this unspeakable evil, like corporate tyranny right here. So they can't get in on Toxie. He gets over on them every time.
Yeah.
So they come up with this grandiose scheme. So they've got all these, like, super villains. They've got, like, some bodybuilder lady that never gets explained. That
always
She's always flexing.
Always flexing.
Always flexing.
You have Michael Jai White.
Michael Jai White. It was his debut. Yeah, absolutely. He's in the movie. And I'm like,
for those who don't know who he is, he also played Spawn in the live-action Spawn movie. I loved it. I liked that.
That Todd McFarlane is supposed to release the new one, but we're not going to talk about that right now. But yeah, so he was in it. He's like another super evil villain. And it introduces you to this whole like myriad of like, you know, evil goons.
Yeah.
Because in the first one, he had Cigar Face. And you had, you know, just, you know.
He's still there, man. Cigar Face is still there.
Cigar Face, you know, give it up. I forget his name. I think I wrote it down.
Is it Dan Snow?
Dan Snow, Cigar Face. He was in every single movie.
Yes.
Give it up to Dan Snow. That man deserves a medal. He was in all four of these movies.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had anything to do with the animated series that came out from like 91 to 93. Oh,
Toxic Crusaders. I don't believe
I don't think he did, but I mean, that's what I was expecting. I was expecting like, so in the second one, they introduce you to this like half man, half dog, like this toxic mutation creation.
Yeah.
And there's a dog person in the Toxic Crusaders. So I'm like, are they going to come through? Are they going to tie this in? Is this where this comes from? No, of course not.
No, I think it was just a separate.
Yeah, separate dog, two separate man. Things. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Toxie, you know, Apocalypse Inc. is like, listen, we got to get it Toxie. So what are we going to do? So Flex Arena and Cigar Face and all these other goons, they decide, hey, he doesn't have a dad.
Yeah.
His dad left. So,
well, what's funny is, like, he has problems, so you hear him talk about his problems to Claire.
Oh, and don't forget his therapist.
His therapist.
His Freudian therapist, that's, who constantly.
That's who it is, yeah. He talks to the therapist who is actually working for Apocalypse Inc.
Yeah.
And tells him, like, you know, he feels, you know, like he doesn't have anything to do. He cleaned up crime and all that stuff. He cleaned up Tromaville. He has nothing to do now, though. You know, so, you know, what does a superhuman hero do now that he's, you know, cleaned up the streets?
Cleaned up 142nd of New Jersey.
And, you know, he feels empty. And what was missing? Well, he didn't know who his father was. So
yeah. Never met Pops.
Yeah. So, like you were saying, the goons decide, you know, hey, let's tell him his father lives in Japan and he can go and find him. And while he's gone, we can kind of run amok and
we can
start changing stuff.
We can get Tromaville under our thumb, and then, you know, if he does ever come back, we already control it. You can't get it back.
Yeah. So that's what he does. He goes to Japan because they film most of in Japan, guerrilla style. So, like, when you're watching the movie, there's people in the background, like, doing double takes. There's people, like, you know, you're looking at them like, oh.
If you watch part two, I don't think half those people were in on it.
No. I don't any of them were. Maybe, like, the main actors who are on camera, but yeah.
I think the lady whose shirt is off two-thirds of the time she's on the screen, I think she wasn't in on it. Just happens. Topless Japanese.
Well, I mean, apparently they had a huge success in Japan, you know, with the first movie. It was huge.
I mean, if you're going to make, like, you know, giant monster movies, I mean, you go to the land of kaiju.
Yeah, true.
Like, I mean, they're, you know. I mean, look at all the stuff that's come out of Japan. I mean, you've got, like, the Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
You got Voltron Force. You've got Gatchaman. All these, you know, where these League of Superhero type people fight all these evil, like, half-fish, half-octopi villains.
Yeah.
Man, that's right up Toxic Avengers alley.
He takes, like, this little, like, what is it, to Japan.
Talking about, he took a freaking, like, a sailboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn bored with the sale in it. And he, like, leaves.
He flew, he went from New Jersey.
This is the most hilarious part. He heads out into the Atlantic off of Jersey, cuts through the Panama Canal, cuts through the southern portion because, obviously, Japan's off the Pacific.
Yeah.
So he had to go all the way through the country. Why didn't he just take a flight over to, like, San Francisco and, you know.
Well, he said he didn't want to fly because he wanted to get there as quick as possible.
Yeah.
So he did. And the only way he could enter was Godzilla style.
Yeah.
Came out of the water.
Oh, it was great.
Oh, yeah. And it was all, yeah. Everything was shot gorilla style in Japan. It was a different look, but it still felt the same. I mean, it was still funny. It was still wild.
Oh, it was still outrageous. Yeah. Like, there's just moment after moment, like, turns one guy's nose into a like a breaded fish cutlet.
Going through the bathhouse.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm. Okay. Again, like I said, it was shot gorilla style, so half the people in the background don't know what's going on. Do you think those people in the bathhouse, because they're all naked?
I have no clue, because like that, it's like there's a real big strong push like morality in Japan.
Yeah.
Like hentai and stuff like that, which is like Japanese animated pornography, if anybody doesn't know.
Yeah.
It's like real hush-hush. It's not like out in the public forum.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're not allowed to have exposed tattoos. There's all this like, there's like this moral code. So I'm like, man, like there's girls with tops off just walking around the street.
Oh, yeah, especially in the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, this was like late 80s going into the 90s, like. I was like, man, that's...
Maybe there's a different culture, though.
That's a lot of full frontal.
Maybe this is like a subculture maybe just a little more...
Maybe they had some like Yakuza on deck.
And let us know if there's any listeners that are from Japan.
Or, yeah.
You know, maybe there's like a subculture that we just don't know about. Or, I mean, I've never lived there, so maybe there's just a culture that we just don't know about. You know, they were really... Because, I mean, stuff that I've seen, like you said, it was very... You know, it's very respectful. You have, you know... You have to be a certain way, dress a certain way to be respected or whatever. So who knows? I mean,
I don't know, but they were getting away with some stuff on the street. they were going down in Tokyo. So when he gets to Tokyo, I forget her name, but he meets like, basically it's like, it's not his girlfriend, but it's like his entourage, like his concierge to Tokyo.
Yeah.
And so she meets up with him and, well, technically there's some girl who rips her shirt open and tries, like, groping her to prepare her for two, like, thugs to take advantage, I guess I
said. Yeah.
And Toxie obviously comes in.
Because his traumatons go off.
Which absolutely, yeah.
The chemicals in his body after he got the radiation stuff happened to him.
Don't sue me, Lucas, but Lucas has, I was like, that whole metachloride thing. Toxie has the traumatons.
Yeah. Oh, dude, four is just a rip off of all the pop culture at the time. But, yeah, he has the traumatons that, you know, pretty much force him to defeat evil, to find evil and destroy it, pretty much. So, yeah, he's trying to help the girl, and that's how he wins her over, I guess you could say, you know, helps her out.
And so she's going to help him out because, obviously,
his dad,
everybody knows his dad. I mean, it's...
Yeah, he's a huge name in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Mac.
Big Mac.
They call him Big Mac.
What was it? Big Mac Junko.
Bunko.
Well, he thought it was Junko.
He thought it was Junko because he is Melvin Junko.
Yeah.
And so he kept misinterpreting it as Big Mac Junko.
Yeah. So when they finally do find him after he goes through pretty much like this trials of like kind of like Enter the Dragon type, you know.
Sumo training
and all this and that. Like,
and finding, you know, somebody who comes up later that you brought up.
Which I know that's two different cultures. Sergeant
Kabukiman.
Ah, yes. In the movie, he's a kabuki boy.
Kabuki boy, yeah.
Yeah, and they loved it so much that they told him, like, hey, you should make... Well, Namco is actually the one who, like pushed it, too, was, like, Namco is the people who created Pac-Man.
Pac-Man, yeah.
They were like, dude, you should make a Sergeant Kabuki Man, but they wanted to... Or not Sergeant Kabuki Man, but just a Kabuki Man character.
Yeah.
And... pretty much he did, and he wanted Namco kind of wanted it to be a standalone character. Maybe they would make something off of it, probably a video game or something like that. But he did it his own way, and then the corporate entity that was over them was like, no, you need to do it this way, cut this stuff out, you know, whatever. And he tried to kind of make a happy medium, and unfortunately He loved the film. Obviously, I love the film. But I think, you know, the way he wanted it to go, he thinks that Lloyd Kaufman thinks that it should be, it could have been more than what it was at the time.
And well, thank God they didn't make a video game out of it, because part four, when he, like, you know, when he slips, trips, and lands on.
I think if it would have been different, I don't think that you would have that character in the fourth one. I think it would be a different, you know, he would be like a more noble character.
Yeah.
You know, and less, you know.
less lecherous and alcoholic. Yeah.
Yes, pretty much.
There you go.
But back to the second one and third one. So he finds his father, finally, who is, the Big Mac Bunko. And
now, Melvin is obviously, you know, he's Jewish. Yeah. So Melvin is obviously Jewish. So is his mom. In the first one, like, it's a traditional Jewish family. And this Big Mac Junko is
well, I don't know. He goes to church, man. He's Catholic.
Yeah.
He's Catholic with a girlfriend who wears a yarmulke.
Yeah, that's what, you know.
Maybe it's an all-inclusive church.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Non-denominational.
Just everybody just come in.
All day.
Just worship.
Come as you are, literally.
Yeah.
Come as you are. Sergeant Kabuki Man, come in drunk as hell. Make it happen.
So, you got this big Asian man.
Yeah, big Japanese guy, you know, and he's obviously, like, there's the battle royale.
Yeah, the final, yeah.
He ends up, you know, in a coup de grace, he kills what he thinks is his father.
Yes.
He kills him, and he's like, oh, man, no, I killed my father. But that doesn't, you know, that doesn't stop him, you know.
Yeah. Well, his father calls himself the Big Cheese.
Yeah, the Big Cheese.
The Big Mac with cheese.
Yeah, the Big Mac with cheese. Yeah, don't sue us, McDonald's. It was not our movie.
They said it first. They said it first. Yeah, so he has to go through. Because they have anti-traumatons.
Yeah,
that they were creating. That Apocalypse Inc. was creating, and his father, quote unquote, had it. And when he dies, he drops it, breaks the vial that contains the anti-traumatons, and unfortunately, you know, get Melvin sick. And he has to go through sumo training to kind of regain his power and learn, kind of like a new lesson, I guess you could say. And so he learns the way of the sumo.
Yeah.
Which was like what? Like maybe like a 5-minute scene?
Yeah, he was literally like, it was so like out of left field. But I mean, it affects him through the rest of his life and the rest of the movie series. So
that's true. Yeah, you're right. It does.
So yeah, he learns the way of the sumo and he returns to Tromaville.
That's not
only to find out that, you know,
was it like Apocalypse
Inc. is like taken over and it's become like Apoctaville or something like that. And they're just doing all kinds of evil things and putting people in like toxic waste slave camps.
It's like they're just, well, they have like Agent Orange just everywhere now.
Because Tromaville was growing oranges. It was like something orange and they turned it into Agent Orange and they put all the blind people to work. But I thought, you know, some of them were killed, but it's okay. They're still there. Cigar Face, who was totally annihilated in the first one, he's here. He's doing things.
Yeah, all the old goons are back.
Yeah.
They're all back to take care of.
The only one who didn't come back was the fat ass mayor.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I was kind of sad about that.
Yeah, because his guts got spilled out in the first one.
He went on to bigger and better things like Street Trash.
Oh yeah, he did do Street Trash.
Yeah, he did Street Trash. Yeah.
He was also in Nukem High.
Yeah, because he was a fat guy. Like no offense to anyone if they're hearing this. Yeah, he was like the token like chunky dude.
Yeah, but he had great lines. He was funny.
Dude, he had great movies. He had great parts. He was
funny. Yeah, he was funny. It wasn't just because he was fat. Yeah, it was because he was funny, too.
That and the sandwich.
Oh, dude, that gross sandwich. Oh, my gosh.
Long as your body.
Huge
sandwich,
yeah. It's probably been sitting there next to him just absorbing his body flavors. Gross.
So he comes back to Apocalypseville and, you know, basically, he can't believe what happened. Everyone's, you know, enslaved and, you know, he's got to put on his best toxie, so...
Yeah,
he morphs out and goes crazy and, you know, beats the holy hell out of, you know, 2/3 of the goons. And
well, he was going to he beats all the goons, beats Apocalypse Now or not Apocalypse Now. Well, what's funny is the reason I say that is because in the movie, he says that Melvin says that they turned everything into Apocalypse. So they have like Apocalypse Video Store, Apocalypse This. And in the movie theater, it says Apocalypse Movies, Apocalypse Now on the marquee.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything's like Apocalypse ink, so they turn it. Yeah, but he does defeat them, and after he defeats them, the final like stand was to send a motorcyclist, a cyclist, pretty much, with a bomb strapped to him to like run into the center of town and pretty much blow up. So you have like this whole taxi chase scene with like,
which is great,
with like what, like a Puerto Rican Cuban like taxi driver just
I don't even want to know
cussing at him, and not cussing at him, but just like just saying slurs in Spanish and just driving around taxi. Just a wild scene. Oh, and he has two old people who are on their honeymoon. Oh, not honeymoon. They're on their anniversary.
Yeah, they're on their anniversary, and he wanted to go to the...
She wanted to go to the... If I remember correctly, she wanted to go to, like, that French restaurant.
Yeah.
And he wanted to go to a Chinese place because it was cheaper. And
yeah, because they're not doing anything. This is their stereotype, not ours, okay? We did not make this film. But, yeah, so they're sitting back there fighting about, you know, that, and, you know... The driver is just losing it. And I don't know how they even told the driver where to go, because the driver, it doesn't seem like he understands.
Well, he's just following the bike, yeah. He's just chasing the bike, which is just kind of, that bike would have outran that taxi already.
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends, you know.
True, yeah, yeah. What kind of bike he was
I ain't riding. On top of that. You know, the traumatons make the car move faster.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. That's right.
Traumatons. Traumatons.
Well, what's funny is, Toxie sits in the back seat instead of sitting in the passenger seat with the taxi driver. Just hop in.
Well, I want to sit in the back seat with the arguing old couple. I mean, come on. They're sitting there. I want Chinese. Then I can throw my two bits in. I want Chinese too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So totally.
And they crash and they blow up.
Yeah.
And none of them die in the taxi.
Of course not.
Yeah, because why would they?
Yeah.
You got the Toxic Avenger.
He's right there, yeah.
They don't die. But because of that, it was such an exciting evening that it gets the old woman hot and bothered, and so her and her husband pretty much spend the rest of their anniversary making out. And
pounding taters.
Yeah, in the car. But he does stop the biker and goes into this. Oh, and he finds his father. His father comes back because he...
Yeah, and
he was wandering.
Yeah, he apparently was just wandering around looking like a, you know, kind of like a Kirby vacuum salesman in a god-awful green suit. Just shows up on the porch. And then, you know, Toxie's mom isn't even pissed. Mrs. Junko isn't even pissed.
Well, it's like he wandered off one. Like, literally, she says, like, don't you ever, like, wander off on me again.
Yeah.
So, like, one day he, like, wandered off. And
like
then,
30 years ago.
Like a dog.
Yeah. And then, of course, it comes out to... You know, Melvin's shocked because he's like, wait a minute. I thought I killed my father. And he's like, no, I'm your dad. And he's like, oh, did you go to Japan and meet Big Mac Junko?
Or Bunko.
Bunko?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that guy stole my identity. And I'm just like, wow. No,
he's been confused for that guy.
Yeah. I mean, in this big wacky world, you know.
Yeah. But then he doesn't come back in the third one.
No, of course not.
I don't see him again in the third one. Even though the third ones were shot... Literally, like, back
to
back.
Yeah, but it's two completely separate storylines because the third one takes you, you know, now we're going into, you know, faith-based.
Yes, it was, what is it, The Last Temptation of Toxie.
Yeah.
The Toxic Adventure 3.
Yeah, and it's like the Devil and Daniel Johnston kind of theme where, you know, Apocalypse Inc. has now embodied, you know, Lucifer himself.
Pretty much, yeah. So this is supposed to be like, you know, Toxie gets... He needs a job, you know. Again, he defeated evil, and he's back to being, you know, just a regular person. Well, not regular, he's a monster, but he has to do normal things, and he has to find a job, and he's having this kind of crisis of, like, I don't have a job.
Gets a resume.
Yeah, I'm just, like, going nowhere in life.
And Apocalypse Inc. is like, hey, wait a minute.
Oh, because his girl needs eye surgery, obviously.
Yeah, she needs...
She can get her sight back. She needs $350,000 or $57,000, something like that.
$357,000 for eye surgery because, you know, of course, Apocalypse Inc. is like, hey, man.
Well, they want him to hire him now.
Yeah, they're like, dude, we can keep him. If we put him on the books, he won't mess with us.
Yeah, put him on the payroll.
Because he'll be working for us. So we can, like, tell him to do whatever he wants because of whatever we want. Because, hey, he's going to listen. He's going to obey commands. He's a good dog. So they give him a job, and, you know, you know, it's the blood contract. He gets the blood contract, and the head of, you know, Apocalypse Inc. comes down, naked chicas everywhere, and you know, you got to sign in blood, and so Melvin, you know, signs the blood contract, and got the sign-on bonus, $357,000.
That's a good for him just to be a spokesperson?
Spokesperson. I mean, think about it. You only get, what, a $5,000 sign-on to become ICE right now? he gets $357,000?
Just to talk about Apocalypse Inc.
Yeah.
Just to show up, make an appearance.
Yeah, drink Apocalypse Cola, whatever they tell you to do, he's going to do it.
But, I mean, you know.
Got to do what you can do.
Yeah, you got to do, man.
So she can get eyes.
And she does. She gets the surgery, and she can see. And she loves Melvin. I think that's what Melvin was afraid of. You know, Toxie was afraid of that when she sees his real deformed face that she's not going to love him. But she actually did. She loved him even more.
Yeah.
And, hey, man, you can't find love like that. You can't buy love like that.
You can. $357,000. If it can give you eyesight, it can take your eyesight.
So, yeah, he does all this stuff. He does the things that he was fighting against. Now he's like, you know, condemning people's houses.
Yeah.
You know, moving toxic waste and dumping it, you know, just wherever.
Lives in barrels of just like bubbling, gurgling toxic waste.
He turns into a business, like.
Yeah, he's like toxic waste Gordon Gekko.
Yeah,
he's
pretty
just
much.
Like evil, and he's like reading like
uptight rich guy now. Yeah,
he's like golfing, and he's
which yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's probably still getting paid. So yeah, I guess a sign-on bonus.
That was a sign-on bonus. Everything above and beyond that, he still makes money on a weekly basis. That was
true.
Just
yeah, but how much is he making?
Who knows? Who cares? He's toxic. Like
he's taking
he doesn't
phone
need money.
Calls.
Look where he lives in a single
dump.
Wide on a dump. Like. There's no lot rent on that. If that thing ain't paid off by now.
He's not paying taxes.
You got problems. Because he doesn't pay property tax.
Yeah.
Because it's still on wheels.
That's true.
So technically, anything on wheels, you don't got to pay property tax on. So
that's true.
Yep.
So he's living it up, man.
Sad that we thought about this. Sad that I know this.
And he's not wasting it on, like, groceries because all he eats is, like, detergent and, like...
Dude, but you think about it. Those chemicals, man, Comet ain't cheap, bro. It's, like, $4 a can. And that's what he's eating in soap suds.
Back then, though? Back then, it was probably, like, what, $2.50? Hey, there was a coupon on one of the Tide.
That is true, yeah. The Tide did have the coupon.
I mean, it probably wasn't as much as it is now.
I don't know, man. I'd be eating Mexican. That's all I can say. I'd be, like, Fabuloso, Ariel, all day.
Arcoiris.
A 19-pound bag for 47 cents? I'm on it. Yeah.
Some foca. Yeah, that's all it eats, like, detergent and, like, cleaning products. And it just, like, tears him up because there are scenes of like him on the toilet. And it's
oh
like,
yeah, his mom
like sparks.
His mom
lightning.
Comes in. And he's like he's laying thunder,
literally
big time.
But yeah, I mean, but yeah, he's like he turns into like a snotty businessman. You know, he's wearing like the freaking polos.
Yeah,
and
the sweater tied around his neck. The Revenge of the Nerds
was
look.
Like a douchebag.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Typical yuppie scum.
But he realizes he has like an epiphany. He goes to his like place to kind of think because, you know, it's funny that his girlfriend can now see, but you know now Toxie can't see what he's doing is wrong. So he has to go and have a think about what's going on. He realizes he made a deal with the devil, and you know,
yeah, because that wasn't apparent. The giant, you know, stairwell into the abyss was not.
Yeah, so he finally has, like, an epiphany. He has the moment of realization that, you know, what he's doing is wrong, and he needs to kind of go back to being the Toxic Avenger instead of some corporate, you know, a-hole. And so he does that. But he signed in blood. So now, you know, you got to try to find a clause or fight this evil person. And his girl gets blinded because... the head of Apocalypse Inc. finally reveals who he is truly, which is the devil, the green devil.
Yeah. some former version of Devil.
Hey, yeah. Man, that freaking costume was actually pretty cool. That was
pretty good, yeah.
Dude, with the wings and everything, looking like a cheap Jeepers Creeper.
Yeah. Looking like Cthulhu had sex with the creeper. It was great.
Yeah, dude, it was actually pretty cool. That's a lot of prosthetics and stuff, though, yeah. You know.
For a trauma release, it was done pretty well.
Not saying they were bad. It's just, you know, it's a pretty good costume. So he has to pretty much go through these, like, you know, five stages of hell, pretty much. And, you know, the
resist devil, temptation.
Yeah. The devil puts him through all of this, you know, these kind of trials to kind of defeat him. But, you know, Toxie always comes out on top. And finally, when she Claire finds the contract, she finds a clause that only, you know, nobody can interfere with this contract or whatever unless, you know, there's like one person that can do it, which is God. And God interferes and helps out the Toxic Avenger because he gets...
Like he does.
Yeah, because he gets turned back into his normal self. He's no longer the Toxic Avenger. He's now Melvin the Mop Boy again because the devil turns him back into Melvin.
Not Mark Torgel.
No. The Mop Boy. Which was like...
I don't know where that guy came from.
Well, they couldn't do it because some, like, pay stuff.
Yeah.
Like, which I get. But it would have been nice just to see him one more time.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
I mean, you do see him again later. But, yeah. You know, just see him as, you know, Melvin the Mop Boy one more time. Maybe a little bit younger.
He was just more annoying in this one. Like, in the first one, he was, like, skeevy and he was, like, you know, he's lecherous.
He's just, like, a weird, like,
he was
geeky.
Just acting it up too much. Yeah. Like, Melvin originally was, like... But she's naked. Like, yeah. He was, like, funny. this guy was just overdoing. He was, like, doing, like,
He was doing, like, a parody of
Yeah,
of
and he Melvin. Was doing, like, his whole, like, you know, dance routine. Like, and I'm like, Melvin wasn't dancing. The only time you saw him dance was when he threw the mop over his shoulder and walked up and down in front of the pool. But
yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but, you know, Claire saves the day. God interferes, turns him back into the Toxic Avenger, and he defeats the devil. And he rips his head off.
Yeah.
Throws it in the air, and it lands in Japan.
Yep. Which ties you in, and you're like, okay, are they going back to Japan? But no.
No. Well, the other one, I mean, what, the second one and the third one happened, what, 89.
Then you had the animated series.
Then you had the animated series. 91,
93, you had the Toxic Crusaders.
2000, wait. Yeah.
2000, we come back with a budget, baby, and we go for the number two we should have gotten in the first place.
Oh, yeah. So you have, dude, the cast in this freaking movie.
All cap, dude. First of all, the Sklar brothers are, like, right there from, like, moment one. And you're just like, man, somebody got paid.
Yeah.
Somebody finally, like, I don't know, maybe that government stimulus came through. Something like that. But somebody got some money on this one.
Dude, this one had a lot. You have a different guy playing the Toxic Avenger, you know, and a different voice. But, yeah, you have a star-studded cast, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got you have Stan Lee narrating.
Yep.
He's the narrator, which is fitting because at this point, Toxic Avenger was now in comics there, you know, so you had that already. So it was fitting to have Stan Lee to narrate. But you also have James Gunn, which I was very surprised to see James Gunn in this movie as Dr. Flem Hawking. And if you can't put that together, he is supposed to be a play on Stephen Hawking.
Yep.
This movie, I think it turns it up a notch. Like, you know, yeah, you had some like un-PC stuff in the first three, you know, some nudity, whatever. This one just like takes it to 11.
Yeah.
Man. This one is wild. You no longer have the school for the blind. You have the school for... It's not going to be PC, but at the time in 2000, it was called the school for retarded children. So, yeah. Except, you know, hey, Toxic Avengers PC, man, for special needs kids. He even says it. But
yeah.
But this movie is... Yeah, dude. It's wild.
It's so wild.
Yeah, so you have that. He saves two of the special needs kids.
Yeah.
And his sidekick, he has a sidekick now. His lard ass.
Yeah.
who pretty much is just somebody who stands. Okay, that's my thing. He has a sidekick, Lardass, who's pretty much all of his weapons are like food based. So he has like a freaking French bread sword. He's got, you know, sausage nunchucks, deli style.
Yeah, and he can eat things and like a bomb. He can eat a bomb goes off in his tummy.
Yeah, so this gang, this diaper gang, comes into the classroom and is pretty much harassing the teacher, all the students.
And you know what day they chose to come into the class?
Oh, that's another thing. Stuff? I forgot about that.
Brother, they chose Taco Day.
They chose Take a Mexican to School Day.
And the artwork, just the artwork all behind the back is just, I mean, yeah.
You talk could about not. Dude, you thought the Taco Bell dog was offensive. People thought the Taco Bell dog was offensive for him saying, yo quiero Taco Bell. Dude, these people are saying, hey, bring a Mexican to school day.
Yep, and there's like these little posters everywhere. Oh. And it's like Pedro says yum or something like, and it shows some like criminal. It's just bad. It's just, wow. Yeah, they took it there.
Dude, yeah, man.
And then this diaper gang breaks in and they're just, I mean, they're obviously affiliated with Apocalypse Inc. They have like some kind of connection. They're just this random gang. And so they come in and they're like smooching on people, rubbing on privates, all kinds of outlandish stuff.
So much breastises up in this movie, man.
They're rubbing breastises on people. Like, one dude's getting humped in the back on a table. Poor guy, like, you're looking at him and, like, he looks like he's enjoying it, but you know he's being taken advantage of.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just...
Movie's wild, man. It's wild. It's so crazy. Yeah, and, like, again, Eli Roth is in it for a couple of seconds. Yeah. He's in it.
Lemmy from Motorhead.
Yes, Lemmy.
Dude, Lemmy from Motorhead's in it. Yeah, the movie's flipping epic.
Yes.
Like, if you can basically, you know, put your political beliefs and, you know, that kind of stuff aside for, like, 2 hours, this movie is, like, a gigantic, like, culmination of brain rot.
Okay, when I watched it for the first time, it literally just reminded me of that early 2000s, because you have Ron Jeremy. If you don't know who Ron Jeremy, he's, like, this very famous... Or I won't say fan. Well known.
No, he's famous.
No, he's famous. But he's famous, dude. And I was watching some interviews. He does not. He dresses so gross. Okay, I was watching the documentary on, you know, how Troma started. Greetings from Tromaville, the documentary.
Yeah.
Dude, he's like in a freaking starter shirt that he had back in like 1990, and it's just covered in white stuff. And I'm like, dude, you're in an interview, like you, and he's just like, yeah, the reason that Lloyd Kaufman's movie, and I'm like, dude, you look gross.
Yeah, he always looks like he's just on one. Like, he always looks like he's just like totally under the presence of street drugs. Every time you see him, any movie you see him in, he's a scumbag. You know what I mean? And he's the world's, he was not well kept.
No.
He's dirty, like, even in his adult movies.
I mean, he had allegations come up, I think, what, like a year or two ago or something like that?
Yeah.
But, like, dude.
Which, I mean, yeah. Even in his, like, he's an adult film actor, if, you know, you don't know who Ron Jeremy is.
He's very famous. He was in a lot of, especially during the Jackass days, the early 2000s MTV stuff, he was in a lot of commercials. He was
in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he was very, very well known, very famous. Still not so famous, but yeah, he was in about boatload of stuff, or late 90s, early 2000s stuff. I mean, he was...
Including the Toxic Avenger 4.
Including the Toxic Avenger 4. He's just, yeah.
But he's the mayor.
He's the mayor now. He's the mayor in this one, yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. If the chief of police can be Cigarface, you know, the dirty, scummy porno actor can be the mayor.
Yeah,
I mean, that's right, yeah. That's life in Tromaville.
Yeah, you also have Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
As the gynecologist in this movie, because Sarah, we're going back to Sarah now, is now, this is Toxie's girlfriend, because this is the sequel that should have been.
Yeah.
So you denounce the other two movies, and it's only the first one. It's like a Halloween series.
So you also get into like the whole MCU thing on this one, because
yes,
there's like this time-space continuum rift.
Are you saying that Troma did it first, man?
I'm just saying. That might just be it.
The whole multi-dimensional thing?
So Noxie comes into play. And Noxie
the noxious offender.
The noxious offender, which is basically, it's like, not to, you know, steal from DC Comics, but it's the Bizarro world.
Yeah.
So in Bizarro world, Noxie is Toxie.
Yeah.
And, you know, once again, you know, the mayor has to call in because there's just so many things going on. Yeah. So the mayor calls in the League of Superheroes or whatever. Oh, you've got some great superheroes. I mean, you want to talk about, like, outlandish stuff, you've got...
You get Dolphin Man.
You got Dolphin Man. You got the Vibrator Queen. I forget her actual name.
The Vibrator.
The Vibrator. There you go.
That's you've got, all it is.
You've got the Masturbator, because, you know, obviously you have to have the male counterpart.
He was a... Oh, my gosh. What was it? He was a combination. He fell into a... Like an what was it a like a mixing what was it? He fell into like some kind of contraption, and he ended up combining with Master G.
Yeah,
and oh my gosh, I forgot the other dude. He was like a known like sex offender.
Yeah,
but he pretty much mixed with him and became
Masturbator.
Masturbator. Yeah.
Yeah, and so basically, he is the female counterpart to, you know, Vibrator or whatever
it is. No, they're both on the same team.
Yeah, they're on the same team, but yeah. You know, you got the female side, you got to have the male side.
Yeah,
you know?
They can just screw each other.
Equal opportunity. I don't know why, like, they're both, like, so enamored with their sexual organs, and they just don't make it happen. Like,
I don't know, man.
I would. I'd form a giant, you know, unified force right there, but, you know, that's just me. But, yeah, they're, you know, Sergeant Kabukimon, obviously, you know.
He's also in this one?
He is, but he's a lecherous drunk. I mean, he's even worse. You know, he's no longer the young Kabukimon that we remember.
No.
He's now has become, you know, just enamored with alcohol and spirits. So every time you see him, he's just, you know, three sheets to the wind.
Yeah, he is gone. Yeah, this movie had a lot. It had a Hank the Angry Drunken Dwarf.
Yeah.
So if you're a if you're a radio listener from back in the early 2000s,
yeah.
you'll know who that is. He plays God in this movie.
Of course.
This movie was just wild, man. Yeah. So you pretty much, Lardass eats the bomb that they placed at the special needs school. And he covers it in peanut butter and eats it and blows up, unfortunately.
Lardass dies.
He dies. But with that giant explosion, there was a rip between the two towns of Tromaville and Amortville, which is Troma backwards.
Yeah.
And with that, you know, some of the Troma people or Noxie came through to Troma world and Toxie went to that world.
Where there's an evil, I forget, evil Kabukiman.
Yes, an evil Kabukiman. There's an evil Lemmy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that. You probably couldn't tell with some of the shots.
Because Lemmy kind of, he deadpans for the whole movie, so you couldn't tell when happy Lemmy was there and evil Lemmy was there. But yeah.
Yeah, there was an evil Lemmy in the battle. But he's just in the,
this is Lemmy. That's just Lemmy.
Yeah, and then you got the, Lardass is alive in this. But he's not Lardass. He is actually just a physicist who lost his wife, Sarah. Who is played by the same girl who plays Claire, who has
just god-awful teeth.
God-awful teeth, and she's not blind.
Yeah.
She's deaf.
Yeah, she's deaf, because it's alternate. It's alternate universe. Yeah.
And if you watch this movie, there is a lot of talk about rape like it's nothing. And just domestic violence, which, again, it's those issues that he kind of just, you know, it's that shock value. He's like, hey, no one's talking about, you know, rape or domestic violence, so I'm going to make it satire so that way people can actually...
Talk about it. Yeah.
Which is actually a good way to do it.
Male prostitution. I mean, there's a lot of extra large big BDS guys out there just, you know, doing, you know...
Dude, that is wild.
Pleasuring other men for, you know...
For money or...
Yeah, or baked goods.
Baked goods. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what alternate Lardass is doing.
He lost his job as a physicist.
And Noxie stole his wife and locked her up in, you know, in his little compound.
She was just a sex slave is all she was. And so he had to kind of resort to being a male prostitute.
Yeah, because you do. I mean, you know, your wife leaves you. You got no other choices. You need baked goods. Things got to happen.
Instead of moving to another town, he stayed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, knowing that she's right down the street, but I'm not going to, yeah.
Yeah, he's Chester in this one.
Yeah, Chester.
Yeah, but, you know, he helps Chester get his girl back. Toxie and Amortville, he helps her, helps him get his girl back. And the two kids that were with him are here in Amortville that he saved. the guy who plays Tito is a special needs person who, I'm sorry, the jacket. He's like this. He's a rebellious.
Like, yeah, he's like the punker.
Yeah, he's like the punker. Kid. Yeah. So like there was like a scene where, you know, Toxic Avenger went to go get his weapon, his mop, opens up the janitor closet and he's on there shooting up heroin.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a bad kid. He's a bad boy.
He's a rebel.
Yeah. Yeah, just don't read the jacket, man. Don't read the jacket.
Dude, that is freaking hilarious. It's funny. It is funny. If you have a sense of humor, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's satire. It's hilarious. Okay.
Yeah, but if you are easily offended, like, veer clear of this whole
series. Just, if you are easily offended,
take a left. Take a left.
Just go watch something else. Just watch... Yeah, because this one right here was like, dude, this is... I was laughing, don't get me wrong, but I'm like... I'm just thinking like, dude, you could not do this movie today. This is 25 years later, you know, or 25 years ago. Yeah, dude, you could not. Yeah. So, yeah, he's, you know, trying to get back home, which is just so dumb how they get back home the whole time. Chester.
Don't forget, before he gets home. So Noxie's in Tromaville.
Oh, yeah.
Noxie's in Tromaville, and everybody thinks that he's Toxie.
Yeah, he's giving him a bad name.
Oh, yeah. He's like, he took one of the kids that survived the school explosion and threw the kid into the wall and killed the kid. He's just doing bad Noxie things that, you know, the noxious guy is used to.
Yeah.
He goes through and, you know, he obviously finds out that, hey, back, you know, my old place, I had this deaf girl that I used to, you know, basically use as, you know, my personal dumping ground, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. Well, in Tromaville, Claire is pregnant with Toxie's kid.
Yeah.
So that's just a part of the story.
And so Noxie goes through and, you know, Noxie, obviously she's blind.
Yeah.
He's an opportunist. He, you know, and he's a bad person.
Yeah.
He goes through and he's evil. You know, and he violates Claire.
And she gets pregnant with his kid.
And, you know, basically he does what he's doing. And then, you know, Kabuki Man is just, he's baffled. He's like, what's going on here? Like, friend Toxie is...
He went to go fight the Noxious Offender.
Yeah.
He went to go fight him because he's ruining Tromaville. And he's pretty much just like the Toxic Avenger, or he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But he's just drunk and like just... terrible now.
And he kills everybody. Noxious Avenger goes through and he kills...
Offender.
Offender, pardon me. He kills, you know, he destroys Dolphin Boy, Masturbator.
The cow guy.
Everybody. I forget the cow guy's name, but he was kind of cool. I kind of like that costume and setup. Yeah. I think he could have done a whole lot more than shoot milk out of his nipples, but that's all he really did.
That's really all he did, yeah.
Yeah, that's all he did. Like, that was his special power. So, irregardless... Kabukiman is the only one left. Sergeant Kabukiman. He's there to save the day. But, you know, he goes in and he's drunk, man. He's just, you know, he's down on his luck. All of his friends and his cohorts are
his
dead.
Arm's broken.
So he's been beat to a pulp.
And he gets hammered. So hammered that he stumbles upon Toxie's place.
Yeah.
And remember, Noxie tied her up, tied Claire up, you know, and he's out with the mayor. And so he stumbles into his house. Needing to take a piss, so he whips it out, takes a piss, sees a damsel in distress.
Yeah, and for some reason, Kabuki Man's unit is plushy.
Dude, it is, dude.
It's plushy. I didn't get that, but yeah. But, you know, he sees that Claire's tied up, and so he's like, I'm going to loosen your bounds. I'm going to set you free.
But he's so pissed drunk
that... Obviously, you know, he did the Maury Povich. He slipped, tripped, landed on, and bam, things happen.
And he knocked out. He fell asleep.
On top of Claire.
Yeah, on top of Claire. So, yeah. But Toxie makes it back home.
Absolutely.
In time for the birth of his child, because I guess because since he's... Because she gets pregnant and, like, literally has the baby in, like, within 2 days.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, toxic technology, bro.
Yeah, it's the traumatons.
Yeah, man. You eat that much, you know, that many Brillo pads and stuff, dude. It kicks in, you know, kicks in your swimmers.
So, pretty much, the gynecologist, who was played by Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
Tells her that, you know, if what's going on in her body right now, she has twins. She has twins, and they're fighting to see who's going to be.
Oh, and you get visuals.
Yeah, you get the visual.
Which is great.
So when she's having the baby, when she's about to have the baby, there is a visual of the two fighting because Noxie wants obviously the evil baby to win. Toxie arrives and they have their own battle, like two lightsabers. So in case you couldn't know who's bad, Noxie has like a little tuft of hair.
Yeah.
And a red mop.
Yeah, like a little devil lock kind of thing going on. Yeah,
and Toxie, of course, has, you know, the green mop, and he is obviously the Toxic Avenger. So they start fighting with their mops like they were lightsabers, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And the babies in the womb also fight, and you get a visual of them.
Yeah, and it was great. That was probably the best part of the whole movie.
Well, what's funny is they have shirts on in the womb.
Yeah. They're fully dressed. There was a little tutu. Did you see the little tutu?
Yes,
okay, there's a little tutu on the... Yeah, it was great. Yeah. And they're, like, fighting, and she's got a big womb. I'm just saying.
Dude. Like, when she has these kids are like 13.
Grown children, yeah. Like a 4'8", 92 pounds. Yeah, it's just...
But, of course, Toxie comes out on top because everything that... Well, Noxie whips out his member... Because he told Toxie that before he was going to kill him, that he was going to take his manhood first.
Yeah.
And he whips out his artificial pecker and blows it up, and it's like a little monster.
Yeah. Weird, too.
It's like a Gwar's freaking odorous.
Which, if you do look at it... Okay. Oh, no, not to throw it off, but Troma made Poultrygeist.
Oh, yeah.
And remember, you have the chicken pecker.
Oh, yeah. And Poultrygeist. Yeah.
And it was very similar to that, like the prosthetic that they used.
Yeah.
Because that's totally what it threw me to. I was like, is this like the Poultrygeist pecker? But yeah, no. But anyways, yeah. So Noxie's got like this evil, like, because obviously in Amortville.
Yes.
Like, they do all these weird, like, there's like this whole, almost like Escape from L.A.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's like this, you know, plastic surgery lab.
Yeah.
And, you know, Noxie... had his manhood created into like this evil, like toxic pecker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just
And so yeah, he pulls it out and he's, you know, going for, you know, Toxie's backside. He's gonna go clap some cheeks or whatever.
But Toxie obviously comes out on top
because, absolutely,
you know, the difference between him and Noxie is that he's not fake. So everything inside of Noxie is fake. His heart, everything inside of him is fake.
And he shows you.
Yeah. Yeah. He pulls out his heart and all that stuff. And
yeah, he disembowels him. This is fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But out from Noxie comes OG Melvin, man. Well, not OG. He's evil Melvin. Yeah. But it's the OG. It's Mark.
It's Mark Turtle. Yeah.
Wearing the same getup, the tutu and everything. Yeah, it was cool to see him again.
We needed it.
Dude, it was good to see him again.
Don't think he really needed to necessarily come out of Toxie, but or out of Noxie, but you know what?
Yeah.
Good point.
But what's funny is they say, like, hey, you know, Claire, if you have all these kids, you're going to pretty much die. But she ends up having all three kids anyways. Oh, sorry, I said three, because it's not just the two, Noxie and Toxie decides to keep both children. Because he's like, no. He goes, a kid is a product of their environment, and he believes that they can raise a good child no matter what, even if it did come from Noxie's seed.
Evil seed, yeah.
Well, there's a third kid, and they're like, what? And they pull the freaking swaddle over or whatever, and it's freaking Kabuki Man's kid.
Yep. All three. Now, see, that's what... So Noxie, I could understand being, you know, basically engineered out of the same stuff and the toxic waste and everything. I can understand. Speeding up. Kabuki Man had only had relations with her like 8 hours
prior.
So what's going on in Kabukiman's, you know, dungeon, man? What's he got going on?
That's Sergeant Kabukiman, NYPD.
Yeah.
He must have the same thing going on, man.
Possibly.
He's got the whole, you know.
Gonna have to look deeper into his back lore. We're gonna have to learn like the whole.
I'll watch Sergeant Kabukiman on NYPD.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I love watching that. I'll watch it again. I'll watch it right now.
I'll do it again.
Yeah, dude. This whole thing. I mean, just how it started. I mean, Lloyd Kaufman going to Yale and then leaving because it was, you know, it just got tired of like the same stuff. Then going to like a film school and then getting introduced to pretty much all of these, like he went to Chad in Africa and filmed all of the, of course, tribe people and all, everything that was going on, them butchering pigs and stuff like that, or butchering the animals to eat, which he had never seen before. And then showing it to like his mom's friends and stuff like that, and seeing the shock on their faces, and that kind of what grew his interest to make like shocking movies. That's why you get like some of the shocking stuff in these movies, like, you know, Nuke'em High and you know, Redneck Zombies, Surf Nazis Need to Die.
Surf Nazis Need to Die was great.
So, but yeah, this one, I mean, obviously being their kind of their baby. I would say it is their baby. That, you know, it's wild, man. These movies, the pushing on the freaking PC stuff, and like, yeah,
that's why I'm really excited to see the new one.
Yeah, I want to see how they're going to do it
with everything how he's going to do it. Yeah, for like the last 5 years, because he, you know, he obviously does still have a hand with the movie.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's a reboot. It's not Melvin the Mop Boy. It's, I forgot the name of the guy, but just what are they going to do? Who are they going to offend or whatever? I mean, that's what you got to do. You got to offend so they can talk about it.
Yeah. Got to break some eggs to make that omelet.
Yeah. So we'll see who they, what they talk about, who they talk about. I mean, I'm excited to see it. Or what kind of social issues they, you know, because obviously a lot of the first four movies were, you know, talking about this and that, making fun of it, that way people can talk about it. So I'm excited to see what they have in this one, man. And, you know, I mean, you got heavy hitters in this one too. You have, you know, Peter Dinklage. You got
Kevin Bacon.
Oh, that's right there. Yeah, Elijah Wood. I forgot that Kevin
Bacon's
all in it.
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin Bacon's in it.
So yeah, I'm excited to see what they do. Now, obviously, it's not going to be anything like the old ones.
No.
You know, you're not going to have James Gunn, you know, playing Stephen
Hawking.
You're
not going to have Cigar Face, you know, but.
But it would make sense that James Gunn would be in the 2001 and 4 because he's a huge comic book nerd. So he would have read Toxic Avenger and all that, been a fan of it, and of course would have been in it. Yeah, the guy that just made Superman.
Yeah. Was in Toxic Avenger 4.
Was in Toxic Avenger 4.
Yeah.
Playing Hawk Fleming.
So before you go, you know, before you go throwing any stones in our direction for this, you know, just realize you might have just seen Superman.
Eli Roth was a weird one, though, seeing him. And Lemmy.
Lemmy, I was like, totally, like, I mean, it was something, you know, like, I was used to it because after, you know, Airheads.
Oh, Airheads, yeah.
Airheads, I was like, dude, yeah, Lemmy, you know, and then everybody, like, obviously, like, the whole shtick and spiel, you know, Lemmy is God and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, I was totally like, yeah, cool, you know, but I could totally see him in this. But there were a couple people in there that I was just like, wow, this is kind of surprising.
Yeah, man. So. Yeah. Well, even Michael Jai White in the 2 and 3.
He was such an unknown. It was hilarious because, like, I had to take I took a double look. I was like, because I'd seen part 2 and part 3 before. But I was like, wait a minute, man, that's Spawn right there. Yeah. There's Al Simmons. And, like, sure enough. And then I, like, Googled it. And then my wife was like, did you just Google Michael Jai White? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, why? I'm like, because he's actually in these movies. And so, yeah, you know. Yeah, I'm really excited to go and see it. You know, it's going to be really good. And, you know, on another note with, like, social things, I don't know, maybe some of y'all have looked at it, maybe some of y'all haven't, but the movie actually has teamed up with unpaid medical debt?
I think it's, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about now, yeah.
Yeah, and they're actually, for every $1 million that obviously they make at this movie, they're going to go through an unpaid medical debt.
Yeah. Yeah, they, I heard that they teamed up with them, and was it one every one?
Every 1 million, they're going to go through and they're going to donate 1 million to pay off, you know, basically medical debt for people who are in need.
Which would be good.
So, I mean, that's really cool because, like, it was made, obviously, you know, to help people. And, you know, the movies, as campy as they are, they do bring up some relevant social issues that are going on. So the fact that, you know, there are people, you know, that are suffering under the burden of medical debt, I think it's pretty cool that these people went through and said, hey, listen, we're going to help. Every million that we make, we're going to take 1 million. And you don't see
And
that.
I hope they make fun of it in the movie.
Absolutely.
So that way people will be like, that was offensive. How come no one's talking about it?
Yeah.
I think that's what more movies need to do. If you make fun of it, you know, someone's going to get offended enough to where they'll start talking about it. And they'll be like, oh, wait, hold on. This is actually a bigger issue than we thought.
I don't know. What about childless kids in the inner city? Don't be a menace. Really didn't do a whole lot there.
Well, they didn't make fun of it, man. Don't be a menace.
Yeah,
you're talking about the Wayans brothers.
The South Central while drinking your juice in the hood. Yeah.
Yeah, man. But we decided to do this movie because of obviously with A Toxic Avenger, it kind of falls into kind of, it's kind of the in-between. It's not a horror movie, but it kind of is because it's a monster. But it's also a superhero movie. So we were like, well, dude, the new one's coming out. We love the, obviously, the original.
Absolutely. They're making the new one look more, it's kind of like more Toxic Crusader with Dr. Killamoff.
Yeah.
Like, it's got that whole, like, really weird monster feel to it, which I kind of like because, I be honest, I had to go and buy the Blu-ray box set of the Toxic Avengers because
I should have bought it when I was at Texas Frightmare.
Dude, it was like, I was like, gotta get it, you know?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, so we decided to do this movie. It's a wild ride. Again, if you get easily offended by certain jokes, just don't even. But if you just love shock, dude, check it out.
If you just like pure slapstick stupidity and you just want to kind of turn your brain off from what's going on in your life right now, maybe you're going through some stress, things. It's just a good way to go spend, you know, an hour and 44 minutes. Just, you know, give it a look.
Go laugh your ass off.
Absolutely,
man.
Yeah.
All of them, every single one. Well, more of the fourth one.
The first and the fourth, hands down, like, yes. They were definitely the best. I felt like 2 and 3 were a little rushed, you know, and they were, like, a lot of comparative. They were using a lot of the same still screenshots in both.
Yeah.
And jumping back and forth. So, yeah, 1 and 4, I really respected. 1 was a no budget, no money, just goofy. Like, the whole damn thing was shot on, like, one street.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you know, the fourth one comes out, and they're like, hey, you know, daddy got paid. I'm going to, like, everybody gets new shoes.
Yeah.
And everybody came through. And I think that was great. And, you know, this one, obviously, it has some money behind it. So I think it's going to be a decent production. But, you know, we're going to wait and see. And we'll definitely, you know, get back in and, you know, chime in on it. How it was.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about some new movies that are coming out because... Yeah, a lot of good stuff are coming out. And then we'll get back to the horror stuff and some scary things here and there, especially with the Annabelle doll, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. New Conjuring's coming out.
New Conjuring's coming out last ride, so I'm excited to see it because I want it to be the last one. And I would love to talk about the Conjuring franchise and the Insidious franchise. I think they just said they were going to make another one.
Yeah, that's the rumor. I haven't heard anything confirmed.
The last one is done. That's it. It ends there. There's no more. Just stop it. I would love to talk about the era of supernatural horror that has happened recently because, dude, I got a lot to say on it, and hopefully we do an episode on it. Cause,
absolutely.
I mean, I loved it, but who knows? We'll see.
So y'all, you know, enjoy your Labor Day weekend.
Yes, enjoy your Labor Day weekend.
Get out of your chairs. Go throw $7 at Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, man, go check it out.
Yeah,
and it's pretty cool. It came out on Labor Day weekend.
Yeah,
know, that was good.
You got 3 solid days to get out there and see it.
Yeah, go see it, man. Go show some support on it. Yeah, it's. I'm excited. I'm ready to go see it. So, let's get out of here, man, and go check out this movie. Obviously, we're not gonna go see it today, but we will go see it this weekend.
Absolutely.
But thank y'all so much for listening, guys. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Go check out The Toxic Avenger 1 through 4. They are free on Tubi.
Tubi.
Go check it out. And, yeah, and then when you're done with that, go check out Toxic Avenger in theaters. And we will see y'all
next week.